making a believer out of me. As we go through life, every now and then we have those defining, life-altering moments. Something out of the ordinary happens to us and it changes the course of our lives. We see the world in a brand new way. Everything is different. Nothing is ever going to be the same again. As we think about those defining, life-changing moments, we find some common elements among them. The first, for instance, often in life-changing moments, there is the experience of the holy, that you find something holy about it. That's what happened to Isaiah today when King Uzziah died. Something holy came out of that. You see, there is an encounter with the divine or the sacred. Such is the way it happened to the prophet Isaiah. You see, the situation that precipitated Isaiah's life-changing encounter, of course, was the death of King Uzziah. Many of you are old enough to remember the death and the funeral of President John F. Kennedy. I myself was a little kid. I was the age of John. I remember parents telling me things. I remember paper and articles that were left. And I remember reading about it. But I know it changed the way the nation looked, the way the nation felt. It was a time where people began to volunteer and do more. It was a time of great mourning. Also, many of you remember 9/11. As Adam Jackson says, or where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day? Alan Jackson, not Adam. But where were you that day? Do you remember 9/11? What happened? Many of you will recall the darkness of the days that followed our president's assassination. You have read about them. The days of darkness and how the entire country was thrown into shock and mourning. The same with 9/11. In that situation, we were shocked and we were in disbelief. We saw it happening because our technology today, we watched it happen. We watched planes fly into buildings. We watched people jumping out. We saw things happen and we were in such shock and disbelief we could not comprehend. How could this happen and why? One disaster after another, the country in shock and mourning. But here today in our scriptures, we have this young man, Isaiah. No doubt had a similar experience when his friend, the king, King Uzziah died. Something happened in his life. The death of King Uzziah led Isaiah to do something. He went to the temple. He went to church. He went to the synagogue. He went to the temple. The inclination to go to church when some crisis shakes the foundation of our life is as old as religion itself. I wasn't here when 9/11 happened. I was at Salem when 9/11 happened. And I'm sure like many places, all of a sudden we had people calling and saying, is it okay if I come to church? Of course, people started coming and we ended up having a service that night. It was more of a prayer time. People began to come and it was happening all over that people were coming to church. They had to find the Sunday. That first Sunday after 9/11 was the largest attendance in churches all over. What happened? Something shook our world. Something happened. People began to look for something to hold on to cling to. They found their faith, or they were searching for something. They went to church. The very foundation of their life had been shaken. There in the temple, Isaiah had an encounter with the holy, a vision of God's Spirit hovering over the Ark of the Covenant. As hinted earlier, it was a vision that forever changed his life. Indeed, it was a vision that profoundly affected his people and the course of world religion. If truth be told, most of the time we may be rocking along through life totally insensitive to God and God's working in our lives. Oh yeah, life's good. We're just going along. We aren't worried about anything. But then something may happen that causes us to experience God or feel that we are in the direct presence of the divine. Has something ever happened to you that you feel like, wow, I've seen something. I'm closer to God. It's a divine being. Something holy has happened. The loss of a job can bring people to their knees. A sudden illness, a near-death experience, the birth of a child. And all of a sudden, it seems that God's Spirit, for the first time ever, or at least in a new and different way, has broken into our world. It seems that God is speaking to us, trying to tell us something. Sometimes these are beautiful things that are happening, and sometimes they are tragic things in our lives. Sometimes it's a loss for us, but a gain for heaven. And it's something that opens up our eyes, it wakes us up, and it puts us in a place. Perhaps some of us can even cite a day in time when we had such a life-changing encounter or an epiphany, feeling we are in the direct presence of the Holy. Can be an awesome thing. The second thing, so without a doubt, we are humbled by such an encounter. Oh, we are humbled. Sometimes we are brought to our knees. We are brought to tears. We have to sit down. Sometimes it's just, oh, wow. When Isaiah realized that it was the direct presence of the Almighty, he said, "Woe is me. For I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And all of a sudden, Isaiah's eyes were open. He saw the Lord before him. The depth of our shortcomings really begins to haunt us when we feel ourselves to be in the presence of the Holy. It's sort of like the feeling you might get while you're cruising down the highway at 75 miles an hour in a 55-mile-an-hour zone, and you look up in your rearview mirror and you see blue lights flashing. Now, I'm sure that many of you have never had such an experience in your life, but I'm sure that you can imagine such a thing happening. What happens to you when you see that? Do you kind of have a sinking feeling? Do you say, wow? Or sometimes do you say, what have I done? And you look down real quick. So many of us have been in those places. It's a humbling feeling to recognize our guilt in the presence of authority or that which is holy. Sometimes we feel small, but sometimes we feel so unworthy of something happening. I can remember a very, very long time ago, I used to go to Baptist Chapel Church, into the sanctuary, into the new sanctuary. I went to the old one many times, but the new one. And I would sit on this side because this window that was right here was a window of the stained glass window, was a depiction of Jesus standing at the door knocking. And the handle on the door is not there. Of course, the handle is on the inside for you and me to say, okay, Lord, come on in. I'm going to open the door. I'm going to let you in. And in the years of wondering and searching and figuring out and God calling, I'd go to that place. I see people come in here all the time. I come in here from time to time and just sit and watch. But I would come and sit because at a certain time of day when the sun would shine and the shadow would come through that window and it would cast it upon the other. And you could see. And it's where I would go and I'd talk to God sometimes when I thought I needed to be a little bit closer. He was with us always. He's always there. But sometimes we need to be in a place that makes us feel like, wow, God's been in this place. God is here. God is in the lives of the people here. God is in my life. And sometimes it brings us the most peace and the most comfort. And Isaiah went into the temple that day, and it almost frightened him from what he saw, but it also brought him a great peace, and it brought him a great understanding. And then there is a sense of being called to service that Isaiah found in the third thing today. But the call is not a matter of worthiness. God's call often comes in the most unlikely candidates. The most unlikely people God calls out. He calls out cursing fishermen, cheating tax collectors, former prostitutes, and the list can go on and on and on. We sit here each week and we think, I'm not worthy. I can't do that because I'm not a good enough person. I've sinned. I've done something bad. I'm not good enough. God can't use me. God will surely want to call me. Preacher, I'm going to start coming back to church when I get my life together. When I get things worked out and I get things figured out and I get back on my feet, I'm going to come back. Well, I'm never going to see them again. Truthfully. If that's what they're waiting on, I'm never going to see them again. Well, preacher, I just don't feel like things are good, that I'm good enough to go out there. Who told you that? Well, I don't know. I just feel that. Well, how do you feel that way? They can't answer. And they just on and on and on. People find excuses not to serve, not to go, not to be. They want to blame other people. But all Isaiah says is when he went into the temple and he saw the Lord. You see, people are not called because they are the best looking. You can see that right here. People are not called because they're the most talented. Another thing. Or the greatest by human society standards. And oftentimes people hear a call when they are going about their everyday lives, immersed in their daily routines. And that's exactly where I was when God called me. In the midst of raking leaves in the yard. God calls us in the midst of everything we're doing every day. He called the fishermen in the midst of taking care of their nets. He called the tax collector in the midst of collecting taxes and up a tree. So many people were called out doing everyday routines. A weekly visit to the temple turns into a defining, life-changing moment for Isaiah. He was on his way every week, once a week at least, to go to the temple. And this particular time, something happened to him. God spoke to him. He saw a vision of God in the temple. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? The call rings out. To which some, like Isaiah, enthusiastically says, here I am, send me, Lord. I am reminded of a famous altar in the old country of Czechoslovakia that shows Christ without arms. You see it around. You've probably seen it in depictions of it all over. It's a picture of our Lord standing there. And many times it would be where His arms would be stretched out and the arms are no longer there. It is a constant reminder that we are Christ's arms and His hands to serve the world. It reminds us that Christians are not only to pray, Thy will be done, but we are also to say, here I am. What do you want me to do? There is so much need in the world and so many opportunities for service. What is needed in the church today is disciples who will say, here I am, I will follow Jesus. This morning in the back, I said, does anybody know if Vicky's got anybody to do children's time? And they said, no, I didn't know she's coming back. And Lisa says, I'll do it. Here I am. I will follow Jesus. I will learn all I can learn about being a Christian disciple. Here I am. I will find some way to minister to the world's need. Here I am. I will teach that Sunday school class. Here I am. I will serve on that church committee or ministry team. Here I am. I will invite my new neighbors to worship in Sunday school. Here I am. I will help do what needs to be done around the church building and grounds. Here I am. I will give myself to Christian service and begin the necessary preparations. Here I am, Lord, use me. We have heard the saying, well, you've made a believer out of me, or something to that effect. You've heard that line. That's exactly what Christ longs to do, to make believers out of all of us, out of you and out of me. As Leonard Sweet, one of our Methodist theologians and writers and preachers and teachers, says, there is nothing more exciting in life than to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. There is nothing more exciting in life than to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And there's not, because it changes every day. When there is so much need and suffering in the world, how can we do less but to offer ourselves in some small way in willing and obedient service in Christ's name? May we have the grace to say, here I am, I will follow. Make a believer out of me. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word this day. Thank you, Lord, for calling us. Thank you, Lord, for calling us again each and every day, each and every morning when we wake, when we put our feet on the floor, when we rise to say, here I am, Lord, another day. Here I am. Send me. Here I am. What can I do today? Lord, each day is a new calling, a new beginning. Each moment is a revelation, a realization, Lord, of what it is you want us to do, what it is you want us to be. In serving you, to be attentive to your call, to be attentive to that which you tell us, to have our ears open, our hearts open, our spirits in tune with yours, so that we can hear that still small voice, so we can hear when you say, here I am. Here I am. So this morning, Lord, as we come to this time, allow us to truly look at who we are. Allow us, Lord, to truly serve you each and every day. Allow us to always, as we come here each week, to enter this place for worship and to depart this place to serve, to give back, Lord, to go and grow and make disciples, to transform this world, Lord. That is what we are about. Allow us to be a part of that always. Allow us, Lord, to see that, to hear that, to be that. Be with us now, for it's in your Son's name I do pray. Amen.